Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh, here we go. Wait for it, Rob. You gotta wait for it. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Gotta test the radio.
Oh, yeah, people. New Orleans horns. Draft lottery winner tonight.
Your time is up. My time is now. Well, you can't beat me. My time is now. It's a franchise. I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot.
You gotta adjust your radio. It is time, of course, Wednesday, May the 30th, and it is Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford, and we are your hosts. Yes, number one pick in your heart. No Crayola outfits for us, but we're still going to have fun tonight as is. How you doing,
no
Robbie?
Russell Westbrook and Dwayne Wade outfits over here.
None of that has happened tonight, but once again, we want to welcome you guys to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. As mentioned, we're looking forward to having a great time tonight. And as always, I always set the table to get this party started. We're going to talk about a lot of fun things, but don't forget to check us out. We have our Facebook page. Join us at facebook.com/12thmansports. That's number 12, TH, 12th Man Sports. Also on Twitter. All that fun stuff. For those who want to call in, the number is 424-243-9519. But once again, let's look at the table, what we're going to talk about. And Rob, I'm going to switch up just a little bit, sir. I know we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. We've got to talk about the draft lottery. I'm sure you're really happy about that.
Anthony Davis, unibrows, heading to NOLA.
Unibrows coming to NOLA. We're going to talk about, real quick, are the Phillies done with Roy Halladay down? We don't talk a lot of baseball, but that's kind of a big topic. We're going to talk about that. Talk about the NBA coaching carousel. And if we get some time, maybe we'll talk about the AFC and NFC South predictions with the Falcons and Saints. Going to be an interesting talk about that, too. Rob Ford, how you doing, sir? What's going on, man? You all right?
Man, doing great. You know, I don't know if you all can hear the excitement in my voice. You know, my Hornets, we needed some great news. You know, we got an owner now. We're getting Anthony Unibrow Davis coming to NOLA. You know, I know it wasn't supposed to be our first topic of discussion tonight, but, you know, feeling great. You know, we got Anthony Davis coming. Let's make it happen.
Rob Ford, he's talking about Anthony Davis. So let's talk a little bit about how this happens. And obviously you guys get two picks. You guys get the number one pick, and you get the number 10 pick too. But let's kind of set the draft. What, for those who don't know, the draft lottery was tonight. And I'm just going to touch base on the top 10 picks, if you will. So let's touch base a little bit about that. Number one, obviously going to the New Orleans Hornets. Number two, I'm sure Charlotte's a little disappointed, but they get the number two pick. Number three belongs to the Washington Wizards. Number four, we got the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're still in the lottery process. Number five goes to the Sacramento Kings. Number six, Portland Trailblazers. Number seven, the Golden State Warriors. Props to Dad out in L.A. Number eight, we got the Raptors. Number nine, the Pistons. And number 10, once again, the New Orleans Hornets. So let's talk about a little bit. Obviously, number one, what do you think is going to happen with that number 10 pick, sir? I mean, what do you think the Hornets are going to go with that? And also, do you think there's going to be a shakeup? Do you think that the Charlotte Bobcats will kind of trick us all and kind of pick another North Carolina grad in Harrison Barnes? And kind of get your thoughts about this as we kind of switch gears about the draft lottery.
Well, the number 10 pick right now, my mock draft 2.0 NBA mock draft, I know I'm going to have to tweak it slightly with the new draft order, but I have Austin Rivers, Doc Rivers' son, number 10, at the number 10 pick coming to the Hornets. So this will mean, if that holds true, we'll get Anthony Davis at number one and Austin Rivers at 10th pick. And, you know, there could be several different options there at the number 10 pick. Damian Lillard, a guard from Weber State, is a high riser, great jump shooter. You know, the question with Lillard is, can he be a floor general? But he's 6'2", he's strong, great jump shooter, great work ethic. So I would sure think that one of those two guys would probably be in the mix there for the Hornets. You can also go with another big and draft Tyler Zeller from North Carolina. And then as far as the number two pick, where you think the Charlotte Bobcats are going to go, I don't think you're going to see a Tar Heel being picked there. Harrison Barnes, I don't think, unless he just goes out and just be totally impressive in his workouts. I don't see him as a top five pick. And I kind of see him just outside right now. If you look at my latest mock draft, I have him going number six to Portland. And, you know, that could be a good small forward score for them to pair with LaMarcus Aldridge. But I kind of see either Bradley Beal, shooting guard from Florida, or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist being that number two pick. Maybe Thomas Robinson from Kansas. But in my personal opinion, I think Bradley Beal and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is 2A and 2B in this draft. Beal is a guy that can create his own shot, and a lot of scouts even think he may be a Ray Allen clone. He is a great jump shooter. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist might be the overall best athlete in this draft. I mean, a guy can play both the shooting guard and small forward positions, great athletes, and plays great defense as well. And is a guy that can take it to the rim anytime he wants it to, and he's almost explosive in the open court.
That is very interesting, too, because, and obviously, we're looking at a lot of mock drafts that just have played out, too. So, very interesting to see about that. Austin Rivers going number 10. That could be kind of high for him. Obviously, you talked about Lillard from Weber State. We have a lot of interest that Portland may have an idea that they have a lot of interest in him, too. So, we'll see how that plays out, too. But, you know, like you said, I like Bradley Beal. There could be some movement as far as him. And like I said, we'll see how it plays out too. But definitely keep your eye on the Harrison Barnes thing, Robert. I think I don't think there's a lot of smoke to that particular rumor. They may be going back to Charlotte, you know. So we'll see how everything goes out. And you know, if Jordan runs the thing, he definitely wants to get some more excitement for his team. Not a good season for them, obviously. But you know, we'll kind of see how everything plays out too. Anything else you want to wrap up as we kind of get to the next subject?
Yeah, you mentioned Portland as a you know, high grade on Lillard, and as you look at my mock draft, I have him going number 11 to Portland, so that could be very well be the case that he could wind up in Portland. And, yeah, we'll just have to stay tuned to see what happens with Harrison Barnes to see if he has an you know, opportunity to go to Charlotte. But in my opinion, if Jordan is really high on Barnes, you can trade down a couple of slots and maybe see if you can get something in return and still get Barnes. And I know you don't see a lot of that in the NBA draft with teams straight up and down, but it does happen on occasions. So, you know, I don't see Barnes as having a top five grade. So if you do want him, at least make an attempt to trade down and maybe you can get another part or another piece to help your team.
And I think I asked you this question last time, too. For those that we were talking about this in the OT a couple weeks ago, and I asked you, do you think there are any superstars in this draft? And I know we talked about star and superstar. And I think you made a mention as far as Anthony Davis being. Do you think he's going to be a superstar, Rob, or just a star? Or also, do you think he has capability
Anthony Davis
of being
will be a superstar?
Okay.
Anthony Davis will be a superstar. This is the best big man prospect we've seen since Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett entered the draft. And he's got all the skills. He can actually dribble the ball like a point guard. A lot of people don't know this. But he also is a great passer, great outlet passer in the Bill Russell mode. Great shot blocker, great timing. He's actually a solid fundamental shooter. The guy has got to, you know, of course, you know, he's going to get better than what he is currently with great coaching. And but if you look at this guy's all-around game, one of the best big men outlet passers, like I said, he's in that Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Bill Russell mode. And even when it comes to shot blocking, the guy's got great timing when it comes to shot blocking. Long arms, athletic. I think his offensive game will continue to grow and get better. And, of course, he needs to get a little stronger.
Gotcha. Like I said, if anyone thinks has any other thoughts about this, feel free to definitely tweet us. Feel free to make your post on Facebook. Those who want to call into the show, the number is 424-243-9519. So with that, very exciting news, and congratulations, Rob, on the Hornets getting the number one pick, because I'm sure we were talking about this earlier. We didn't think it was going to actually happen, too. So very excited for you guys and obviously for the city of New Orleans. We've got about 20 minutes, so let's jump into the next topic. We got a lot of things going on. The NBA playoffs are taking center stage. And two, I think, pretty great teams are playing. Four great teams are playing. I'm thinking of the Western Conference here. But obviously, let's touch base about what happened last night. Spurs, they just keep winning. Once again, had a great game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if Rob, if I would have told you that you had three scorers for Oklahoma City at least scoring like 25 points and they lost, you'd probably think I was crazy. But that's exactly what happened. Kevin Durant finished with 31 points. Westbrook had 27. And James Harden had 30. Yet and still, they still come up empty against the Spurs. Kind of tell us your thoughts about the Spurs and kind of this series, because we don't think it's quite over, but the Spurs are playing great ball, very unselfish, very underrated, and Tony Parker does it again, scoring 34, and still doing his thing too. So let's get your thoughts about this series and kind of some thoughts moving forward.
Well, if you're Oklahoma State, you know, you mentioned they had the three scorers, but after that, you know, that's where the problem comes in. They don't have a fourth guy who can score the basketball. And those three guys are heavily counted on to get all the scoring for OKC. And, you know, the Spurs, they have 10 guys on their team that can score the basketball. They may not have anybody as good as Kevin Durant at shooting the basketball and scoring, or even Russell Westbrook for that. Well, maybe Tony Parker's on the same level with Russell Westbrook. But they don't have anybody that can score the ball like Kevin Durant. But they have 10 guys that can put the ball in the basket. OKC has three guys that can put the ball in the basket. And not only that, the Spurs play the game the right way. They're unselfish with the basketball. They make the smart passes. If you're a basketball purist, you have to appreciate the way they play the game. And, there's no egos. There's no I in team. And you just got to appreciate their beauty thing, or their beauty to watch when it comes to watching basketball. And Greg Popovich obviously has a lot to do with that, obviously, and, you know, that's why he's probably the best coach in basketball right now. And,
yeah,
I do think OKC, I do think this series is still far from over, because I think OKC started finding something at the end of the game last night with the Hacker splitter. They slowed the game down a little bit, and they got San Antonio out of rhythm. So I think OKC will win tomorrow night. I still think the Spurs will win the series. And but I do think OKC is still going to have a fight in this series.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go back, because I got to stick with my team, too. I think Spurs will pull it off. But I've been saying OKC, you know, obviously I'm a big fan of Kevin Durant, too. But the way the Spurs are playing, it's going to take a pretty good miracle for them to come back, too. But, you know, you mentioned a lot of good things as far as Greg Popovich being the coach of the year and as far as the way that the game is played. And, yes, it is a thing of beauty to see Spurs play. Number one, obviously, we talk about, you know, this is an older team, but yet and still, they've kind of mixed a lot of young players in there. You know, they got like a lot of good, you know, like I said, you know, obviously, you know, Leonard's coming off his bench, so this thing are starting. You know, Boris Diaw kind of got picked up, and you know, it's a beauty to see 10 guys that are able to kind of be, obviously, you know, interchangeable pieces. And Greg Popovich is kind of like, you know, kind of the puppet master doing what he has, too. And, you know, with Westbrook, and I know there's been a lot of talk about him, if he's kind of the missing piece, if he's kind of upset about Kevin Durant being the man. And, you know, I'm sure there's been a couple of series, I don't know if you're watching the game, where I think he had like five straight series where he went down to try to play 1-on-5 basketball. You can't do that against a team like the Spurs. You know, they're going to try to get you at your game. You know, Westbrook had more shots than Kevin Durant, which is very, if you looked at the stats, that's something that you would want if you're OKC as well. And you know, just you have to play the game smart, and that's something that the Spurs excel at. And you know, obviously, it's evidence as far as whether they're playing too. So you know, a lot of those guys, like you said, you know, Baca had like 8 points, Perkins had 3, Sabonis had 2. You're not going to win any games with those type of stats.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And I guess moving on, I guess let's talk a little bit more about the next series going right now with Boston and Miami. And this is currently, Miami's up by 2, and it's probably got 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And just to see the way that Rondo, once again, is just playing incredible basketball. Last I checked, he had about 30 points, 7 assists, something crazy like that. And if you're Danny Ainge, why would you even think about trading this guy? This is my question. And then number two that you have to ask, too, is do you think that the Celtics are kind of they don't have enough young talent like the Spurs to kind of get rejuvenated? This may be the last year that a big three are together, and kind of like your thoughts on this, Robin. And I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off against the Heat. They do have a little toughness, but what a little about your thoughts about the Heat and the Celtics series.
Well, I mean, as you see, as you all probably are watching that or listening to this show right now, this game is still, you know, very well game right now. The Heat only up by two. The Heat just gained possession of the ball right now. And I think this game played, the winner of this game is actually plays a huge part on, I think, who's going to win this series. I don't think, you know, it's over for either one of these teams that lose. But obviously this game is definitely more important to Miami because they're at home. And you, as a team, you want to take care of business at home. And, I mean, going into the series, if you listened to our show on last week, I didn't think the Heat had a chance to win this series without Bosch because I didn't think they would have an answer for Garnett. And but they are competing, and they're playing hard, and you got to give them a lot of credit. Wade and LeBron is kind of stepping up and playing really hard. Udonis Haslam just hits a big shot to extend their lead up to 4 points right now. But, you know, I think you and I both agree that we didn't think that he could win this series without Bosch. And I just didn't think we would have an answer or the Heat would have an answer for Garnett on a low block. And but they're competing hard. They're rotating well. But tonight they're defending Garnett pretty well, but they have problems with Rondo. And I think what the Heat has to do in the fourth quarter, they have to switch LeBron on Rondo to slow that team down. And I think if they do that, they should have success in this series. And as of right now, I would have to change my prediction and think that the Heat will win this series.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think I agree with you. Nobody thought that the with Chris Bosh, and, you know, I think that kind of took him a game or two to kind of get acclimated to what was going on because, you know, now they can actually rest them. And, you know, obviously the way that the Heat are playing, and it's very surprising because I didn't think that just, you know, the Heat are pretty much underrated. They have a bunch of role players, you know, Battier, Mike Miller, Haslam. I don't think they have a lot of strong players, but just, and this is like the role players, but obviously with Dwayne and James, I mean, they're still going to do their thing, too. So it's been a very interesting series. You know, the way that things are looking, if it ends up being the Heat versus the Spurs, you know, I definitely think that it's going to be a good series, too, because I think the Spurs have the mental aptitude to kind of take, you know, James and Wade out of their game, too. But we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, we still got a lot of basketball play, but very, very exciting,
yeah,
to say the least.
Who would you like in that series, Spurs versus Heat? If that's who it is in the finals.
Like I said, I have to go with the team that knocked out my team, and that would be the Spurs. But, you know, I think, you know,
yeah,
I wouldn't be upset if either team won, you know, obviously, because, you know, if you're a big fan of LeBron and him getting his first championship, that would be kind of a cool thing. And if you want to see the Spurs get, what is it, their fifth championship or their sixth? I'm not sure which one it is, but.
Yeah, this will be their fifth.
Yeah, their fifth up there. Yeah, so, you know, obviously it'd be good. For those that want to kind of tell us your thoughts real quick, let me give the number. Or, Rob, you want to throw out the number for those that want to call in or tweet us?
Yeah, go ahead. 424-243-9519. Please call us in. Give us your thoughts on the NBA playoffs, NBA draft. Tweet us. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter as well. Go ahead and give them the Twitter address, Andre.
It is 12, man, that's number 12, THMAN Sports. That's a Twitter, and obviously the same thing on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports. So we've got a lot of ways for you to, you know, check in and listen to us and kind of give us your thoughts as we kind of wrap up the show. We got 11 minutes to go. And
well, I'm
going to
give one more thought real quick on if we have a Spurs Heat final before we move on
sure,
to
sure.
The next topic here. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine today, and you know, he mentioned that if LeBron James doesn't win a championship this year, he's going to have to move out of the country this summer, you know, because of all the criticism and the expectations that people have for him, that he'll probably have to move out of the summer. But I think, you know, I just think the Spurs right now are just playing better than anybody in the league. And my just personal opinion is that if they're healthy, yeah, they're going to win the championship this season, whether, you know, Miami have Bosch or not.
That's a good point, Rob. You got to understand, too, a lot of these teams, and I'm a big fan of mental toughness. And, you know, Boston has mental toughness. And certain times and ever, you may not have all the skill sets. You may not be as strong as somebody, but if you have that fight, that dog in you, something that compensates for that, you know. And the Spurs, they've got that, you know. And obviously the Thunder, that's what they're running into. I mean, obviously getting beat last year by the Mavericks at the time. I mean, you know, there's certain things that you have to overcome to become a great team. And I think it makes you better. I mean, losing does make you better.
Yes.
So that's something, obviously, that you have to kind of consider, too. The same thing with, you know, with the Celtics. They don't want to give up a lead, you know, and they're gonna fight you tooth and nail to the end. You have to take that from them. You know, that's something that's something with the coaching, that's something with the players, veterans on that team. And, you know, obviously, if you're James, no matter, you can say all you want about being talented and all this fun stuff, too. But it comes down to having the mental fortitude not to make mistakes, to be composed, and to overcome all these different challenges that are placed in front of you, too. So that's Andre's little soapbox thing, too. But yeah, that's one thing I have to say, that watching these two teams like the Spurs and the Celtics, you have to respect these guys, because they definitely have just something about that little extra gear that needed to kind of push them on, you know, push them over the edge.
Yeah. This has been, you know, these have been some great playoff games. I would have to say there's been some exciting matchups. And Ray Allen just hits a big three-pointer to tie the game up 99-all here. So we still have a matchup here in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And Ray Allen's been struggling in the playoffs here, but his shot has been dropping tonight.
Wow. Like you said, man, these guys are not going to give up easily, man. You got to have to take this from them, too. So big deal. All right, let's talk a little bit about we're going to send the NBA, Rob. We're going to talk about the NBA coaching carousel. So anything in particular you want to talk about? I think we had some news about Jerry Sloan and a little bit about, I want to say, Nate McMillan on the Bobcats coaching search. And obviously they know they're getting the number two pick. So I'm sure the coach should be in place. Hopefully he'll be in place by that pick. So I don't know what you want to talk about as far as that and kind of talk about who you think get that job.
Yeah, I got a couple of news on that front. Of course, the Charlotte Bobcats eliminated Patrick Ewing today as far as running in the head coach position. Looked like they're narrowing it down to Jerry Sloan or Nate McMillan, and they're possibly still looking at Brian Shaw. But one of the things I heard Rich Child, the general manager of the Charlotte Bobcats, say tonight, you know, he said we have a young roster. We're looking for a guy that can come in and be a great teacher. And that kind of just gave me the impression that Jerry Sloan is probably your favorite for this job. They're looking for a guy who's a disciplinarian, a great teacher, and come in and develop players. They're looking for a guy that can come in and develop players. And out of the guys that's being mentioned that are candidates for this position here, it just seems to me that Jerry Sloan is probably going to be the guy that's going to get this job for the type of guy that they're looking for to be their head coach. I could be wrong, but I was just, you know, reading between the lines in his interview earlier this evening. It kind of, you know, leaves me the impression that Jerry Sloan is definitely the favorite for this job. But it should be interesting. We still have some other coaching positions that are open. You know, you still have Orlando on the market, you know, which direction they're going to go. You know, Stan Van Gundy has said that he's going to take a year off now, so it don't look like he's going to be a candidate anywhere. So I think the most interesting hire right now is to see exactly what the, you know, the Charlotte Bobcats are going to do. The Clippers just announced on yesterday that they're going to stick with Vinny Del Negro. I know they were having some issues with him at one point during the season, but they're going to stick with him. You know, we already covered the Hawks in recent weeks, deciding to stay with Larry Drew. And so right now I think the most interesting decision is going to be what will the Charlotte Bobcats do at that slot.
Yeah, I'm sure Vinny Del Negro, having Chris Paul, is going to make him look like a great coach, man. So, you know, I don't care who you are, but that's just me. But, yeah, we'll see how everything plays out. I'm a big fan of Jerry Sloan. I would love for him to be with the Hawks. I love Rick Adelman, but, you know, we're going to kind of stay status quo. We'll talk about you had some questions to me as far as who I think would be a Hawk, and I'm kind of like going off the reservation here. Hopefully we pick up a Steve Nash or Andre Miller. I know Steve Nash is old. I don't care. We need a distributing point guard for our team to kind of another veteran guy, too. Even though we keep getting players, for some reason, always at the end of their career, as much as I love Andre Miller first, but I don't care. You know, we need a guy that's going to come in and kind of steady the ship and kind of bring these guys together. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm done.
I don't mean to burst your bubble, but I'm telling you this right now. Steve Nash will be with the Miami Heat next season.
Are you his agent or something like that? How do you know this, man?
I have inside information on this one. One of my sources, Steve Nash, will be with the Miami Heat. You know, he's about 38, 39 years old. You know, even if he has to take a 1 to 2 year deal, he wants to go somewhere and try to win a championship before he retires. And Steve Nash is not going to be the Lakers. He's going to go with the Heat on next season.
Today is May 30th,
2012. Robert Ford, breaking news.
11:45. We're gonna write this down. We're gonna keep this as a track and see what's going on too. So we'll see how it plays out with that. Oh man, what a great night. All right, let's talk a little bit real quick. We've exhausted all the NBA stuff right now, and we got about 4 minutes, Rob. And we don't talk a lot of baseball, but we're trying to expand this a little bit. And you know, obviously, Roy Halladay, a pretty big move. He actually goes down to the Phillies, and I guess the question for you, do you think that the Phillies are done now that he's down? And I think, I don't know if there's going to be enough for them to come back. You know, we got a lot of strong teams, especially in the National League with the Phillies doing their, Nationals doing their thing, and the Marlins surprisingly doing their thing, and also the Braves, you know. So, you know, I think it's going to be tough for them to make a comeback. But I want to get your thoughts here as we kind of transition out of basketball and into a quick little talk about baseball.
One quick update for our listeners. The Heat and the Celtics are going to overtime here. Ray Allen is a big three-pointer. And so the game is going to overtime. But, yeah, getting to the Roy Halladay situation with the Phillies. Every team in the NL East is over 500 this season. And the Nationals and the Mets are at the top right now. Nationals in first place. So it's kind of a surprise. And but Halladay has been their ace pitcher for quite some time. He's going to be down 6 to 8 weeks. And even though the Phillies are in, over 500, they're in last place in the division. I think this is going to be a major blow to their pitching staff. I think he's 3-5 or 4-5. His ERA is still pretty good, you know, in the threes. But I just don't think it's going to be enough for they've won the NL East for 5 straight years now. So I think this is going to be the end for them. And I think, you know, with the Nationals and the Mets, and like you said, you can't rule out the Marlins and the Braves either. You know, all these teams are over 500. But I do think the Phillies are going to take a drop in the standings here. And, you know, and it'll be time for them to kind of regroup for next year. But it's been a great run for them. You know, 5 straight NL East titles, you know, got them a World Series championship in there. And, you know, and they still have some decent talent to possibly regroup for next year. But I just think this year we're going to have a new NL East division champ.
Woohoo! I agree wholeheartedly. Hopefully that'll be the Braves, man. I'm sorry, the Phillies. No offense to all my Philly fans out there. You know, hopefully it's time for some new blood atop the division. And, you know, definitely now it's time to take advantage of you know, a big blow to the Philly staff, if you will. We are getting ready to enter the 2-minute warning. So I guess, Robbie, we'll talk about some stuff next week. And also, we'll set the stage for the OT. For those who don't know, we talk about some more subjects about 50 minutes in the show. And always feel free to click on that link. And you can actually archive and listen to an archive show. And then definitely comment on that the following week to kind of give us your thoughts or any questions that you may have as we get ready to set the stage for next week and kind of into the next couple of the shows. So, 2 minutes, Rob. We're going to kind of set the stage for next week and kind of some good things you want.
Yes. First, I'll talk about the OT. We got another 15 minutes, as Andre just mentioned. We're going to talk a little bit about this Final Four playoff format in college football. We got Terrell Owens. We'll talk a little bit about him. And we still have AFC and NFC South predictions. So make sure y'all tune into the OT so y'all can hear our predictions for that as well. But coming up next week, we're going to be previewing the NFC and AFC East divisions. So definitely tune in for that. We're going to continue to update on the NBA playoffs and maybe even talk a little bit more about NBA mock drafts as well. We'll have the correct draft order for next week now. And so definitely you want to tune in for that. Definitely it's a Wednesday night, next Wednesday, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. And for our good friends down there in Hawaii, aloha, it'll be 5 p.m.
Good deal, Rob. Thank you so much. For those that, once again, definitely check us out on Facebook. For those that know the Facebook, it is facebook.com/12thmansports. As well as Twitter, same thing. Definitely post your thoughts. Feel free to, as I mentioned before, click on the link. You can listen to the archive shows. And we would love to hear any feedback that you guys have via Twitter, Facebook, all that fun stuff. We always post some things, and it's just good to know that folks are caring about the show. So we'll see you guys next week. As always, tune in for the OT, and we're going to have some fun with that for those that want to tune in.
Good night, people. Oh, yeah, that's how you close it out, Dre. Yeah. I go by the name of Lupe Fiasco. Good night, people. Tune in for the OT, baby.
Thank you, guys. We are now officially the OT as we end the show. I guess it's a good thing that you talked about the Final Four playoffs, Bush Rob. So let's talk a little about setting the stage as far as what's going on in college football. We've been hearing a lot of rumors about this. Is it going to really truly come to pass? We don't know. But kind of tell us, for those that are kind of new as far as what's going on, what college is talking about and kind of what we're looking at as far as this playoff system that we're talking about implementing.
Well, the latest proposal is, you know, we still have another 2 years with the current BCS model, you know, with the two best teams or the two highest ranked teams in the BCS playing for the national championship. This coming season will be in Miami, and the following season will be in Pasadena, California. But then after that, we're looking at a four-team possible playoffs, and they're still undecided about how they want to do it. If they're going to have the four teams, the two best teams play on their home campuses, or are they going to use the bowl system? I think most people would like to use the bowl system, which means two of the current four BCS bowls will have a semifinal matchup, and then you have a national championship game a week later. Now, the up for debate currently is how we're going to pick the four teams. Commissioner from the Big Ten and Pac-10 and maybe a few of the other conferences, they feel like you should take only four conference champions. The SEC is saying take the four best teams, period, even if it's two or three teams from the same conference. And obviously the SEC just had the 1 and 2 ranked teams this past season, so you can see where the SEC is coming from. And other conferences are saying, hey, you know, let's take four conference champions. And that would have eliminated Alabama from the equation this past season if that was the case. But the SEC stance is firm. Let's take the four best teams and, you know, seed them that way, whether it be two or three teams from the same conference, or in some years it may even be four teams from four different conferences. But let's take the four best teams. And the SEC seems to be standing pretty firm in that regard. So I know there's some more meetings coming up in another week or two, so stay tuned. We'll continue to update you all and get more information on that. But definitely this is something to watch. I think my personal, the way I would like to see it, it would be four teams using the bowl system instead of these teams playing on their home campuses. So in my opinion, you know, you use the four BCS bowls, pick two of them for the semifinals, and then you have the national championship a week or two later. And the way I would do it, for example, this past season, it would have been number one LSU against number four Stanford. It would have been number two Alabama against number three Oklahoma State. And so the way I would do it is LSU is the number one seed. They get to pick what BCS bowl to play in, which in their case they would probably pick the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans since it's right down the road. And Alabama being the highest seed, they pick the next choice, which in their case maybe they'll pick the Orange Bowl, Miami. And whoever the national championship game is that following week, then you just go to that neutral site again. That's kind of the way I would like to see it happen.
Gotcha. Now, are you a proponent of having the four best teams, or are you a proponent of having the four conference champions? And then second that, is there enough time if you're a fan of these teams to kind of make that quick turnaround as far as, let's say I'm going to the bowl and I'm spending money to go to Sugar Bowl, and then next week I go pay some more tickets to go to, you know, Miami, for example, or Pasadena. Is that good for the fans as well as far as setting up to have that bowl system? I'm sure that's what's being discussed right about now as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's definitely a valid point. But I think fans, true fans of their teams, you know, I think they'll still make the sacrifices to go to these games. And then, of course, you know, you definitely have corporate sponsors that will take you to these games as well. And so, I think, you know, you're still going to have packed houses with these games when it comes to these
games. Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think, you know, it may hurt some of the fans, but I think overall, I think this is something the college football fans have been wanting to see for quite some time. And I know Steve Spurrier is a fan of 18 playoffs. And you know, I think we got to crawl before we walk. This is the next step. Let's go to a four-team playoff and see what happens.
Yeah, I think we should definitely expand, like you said, to just kind of make it I would like either, you know, 4-6 or something like that, you know, kind of having, you know, so that way all your teams are going to get a chance to play. Maybe there's like more of a wild card too. So that way, you know, that'll make a lot of the SEC people happy because, you know, you'll get like a lot of those schools that are good matchups that are playing well. And the SEC is so tough, they're beating each other up, that you're still going to get like a team that's going to make a wild card spot. That way you can see maybe in Alabama, you know, play different teams and everyone gets a shot at them to see that, you know, we actually earned this victory. And that way that'll shut up a lot of, you know, SEC people that think the SEC rules. And that's not a knock on the SEC, just kind of to keep it fair because, you know, everyone thinks their conference is the best, be it Pac-10 or, you know, if you're the Big 12 or whatever, you can actually make a claim that, you know, we beat all these different schools and we actually earned this championship as opposed to a lot of the second-guessing and coulda, shoulda, woulda, if you will. So
exactly.
That's kind of my thoughts on what you do.
You know, every other sport is decided by a playoff. Now, why not have a playoff in college football, one of the biggest sports in America? I mean, that's what the fans want. Let's make it happen. You can still make your money. And I think that's everybody's concern, of course, is the money. And I think this is still a moneymaker. And so, I mean, let's give the fans what they want here. Everybody wants it. And everybody, you know, I mean, hey, you look at LSU's standpoint this past season. They won the SEC title. They beat Alabama in the regular season. But we had to play Alabama again and it wound up hurting us. But Les Miles, I believe, took the high road and said, hey, this was the next best team in the country. We got to beat them again. And that was just that's just the way it is. You know, we want a playoff system.
Wow.
You know, even if you got to play another team again, you know, you just got to beat them again. And so I think that's what everybody wants to see. We want to see a playoff system.
Wow, Rondo's close to a triple-double. He's got 38 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists. This dude is fabulous. But
for those of you all that are missing this game, I tell you, it looks like a war out there down in Miami. This is quite a battle down there and trying to get this game to victory. And so these are two teams battling competitive games. And that's NBA playoffs. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and real quick, Rob, before we move on to the AFC South and the NFC South predictions, I think you made a good point as far as, you know, certain teams getting beat, or if you play a team, you have to beat them again. Because I think that happens in the NFL a lot. I mean, obviously, you play a team in the regular season, and then you may have seen them, like, you know, twice, or you may see them, like, 3 times even, something that's not unheard of, especially if you're in the same division as that team, you know, and you beat them. And it's hard to beat a team, you know, 2 times along, 3 times in the season, too. But, you know, it's something that, you know, obviously, if you get the playoff system that's set in place, you got to earn it and you got to go through all those teams. And that makes it, like you said, makes it more of a, I think, more of a meaningful victory, no more second guessing, too. So it's definitely something to think about.
Yes. Mm hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. So I think, you know, college football fans, I think in a few years we're going to finally get to see this happen. And it is starting to materialize what we've been waiting for a long time in college football.
Too much debate. And then I guess the next topic that's going to be tough is paying college athletes. But that's a whole other topic that we'll talk about.
That's a whole other show, people.
I know. I didn't mean to throw it out there. I'm just previewing this, too. But I'm sure that's going to be the next thing that we're going to talk about. Real quick, Rob, we got about 6 minutes or so. Talk about some predictions for the South divisions, and we're going to start with the AFC South because I can guarantee you we're going to have some differences on the NFC South. But real quick, let's talk about the AFC. Obviously, this is a pretty interesting division. The past couple of years has been dominated by the Indianapolis Colts. But with the current events, what's been going on, if you've been under a rock with Peyton getting hurt and the new regime going on, obviously they've slipped. And as far as everything, too, this is my predictions. You know, obviously I think the Texans have been an emerging team. They've been a great young team, and they've just been flexing their muscles with a great defense and kind of amassing a lot of young talent. And they kind of hurt themselves with Matt Schaub getting hurt, but having a pretty good balanced team has been keeping them in there. And they made some upgrades as far as getting some quarterback plays, some new backup quarterbacks. And I think they're going to repeat as the number one seed in that division. The order that I have is the Texans number one, Titans number two, number three. This was a toss-up because I'm not really a big fan of a regime change with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I just think that Andrew Luck's going to struggle in his first year, not in a bad way, but just kind of getting acclimated to the league. I think it's going to be close. I think Jaguars are number three. The Colts are still, of course, going to be number four in that particular division for the AFC South.
That's pretty good. We're pretty close. I have one slight change. I totally agree. The Houston Texans will be head and shoulders above the rest of the division. I don't even think it's going to be close this year. You know, I like to sometimes I like to toot my own horn, but I did predict the Texans to win last year too. But I think this is a team that is a Super Bowl contender with a healthy Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson. I really do believe that. Last year, I predicted that they could make it all the way to the AFC Championship game, but they got to the playoffs with T.J. Yates. They still made it to the divisional round, which is probably a little bit further than I thought they would have made it without Schaub. But this is a team that I think is a Super Bowl contender. They're either the best team in the AFC or the second best team if they're healthy. And I firmly believe that. I think Wade Phillips has done a tremendous job with that defense. Down in Houston, great pass rushing defense. They even got a few more studs in this draft and free agency. And I think if this team is healthy at the quarterback's position and they got a healthy Andre Johnson, they're right there with the Patriots. And as far as being a contender for the AFC title. So I think they're head and shoulders above the rest of the division. I clearly agree with you with Tennessee being the second-place team. There's still some talent on that team. They lose Cortland Finnegan, so there's a little concern about the cornerback position. But I do think they're good enough at the quarterback position with Matt Hasselbeck, and pretty soon they're going to be ready to turn that position over to Jake Locker, who I was kind of very impressed with last season as well. Still have Chris Johnson. He's on a full training camp this year. So I think they're second. The only slight disagreement I have with you, I'm going to go with Indy 3. I think Andrew Luck is good enough to where he's coming in this league already better than Blaine Gabbert. And
wow.
So I think there's enough. I'm not sold on Blaine Gabbert just yet. And, you know, maybe Mike Mularkey. Cut the Mularkey. But I think he could. I think maybe he possibly can get Blaine Gabbert to NFL standards. But I think Luck is a guy that's ready to come in and play. I'm not saying he's going to have Cam Newton kind of numbers, but I'm going to say he's going to be close to Cam Newton kind of passing numbers. I think he's that skilled at the quarterback position. And, you know, this is by far the best quarterback into the draft since Peyton Manning. So this guy is going to come in seasoned and ready to play. But I still think it's going to be a third-place finish for the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I said it was going to be close. I was just thinking in my head that I don't know if they were kind of one player away from making a difference, too. So defense has to go through a lot of changes. And anytime you have a new regime, you know, I think it's going to be situations where it's going to take some time for you to kind of get acclimated to that, too. But, you know, as mentioned, I agree. I think that Luck is definitely a better quarterback than Blaine Gabbert. I think it's going to be close. Could be one of the situations where it's like 6-10 or, you know, whatever, 5-11, something like that, too. So could go very close for both of those teams, too. So it's a toss-up for that. We got about 2 minutes, and NFC South, real quick. You know, I've got the Bucs number one. Just joking. I got the Falcons number one, Saints number two, only because of the drama that's been going on with you guys. Panthers 3, Bucks 4.
Interesting. You know, to our listeners out there, obviously everyone knows that Dre is a Falcons fan, and I'm a Saints fan. I think last season we both picked our teams to win the Super Bowl, and it didn't happen for either one of us. So, you know, sometimes I think we pick with our head, but sometimes when it comes to our teams, we may also pick with our heart a little bit, and that's understandably. So we'll have to excuse us for that. But I said to you previously that, you know, there's never been a team in the NFC South to win a division in back-to-back years. And I said to you that the Saints will probably turn the second. But I changed my mind. I think the Saints are going to win the division. I think they're going to rally. The Saints are going to win the division. They seem to have a rallying cry about what's happening to them. So I think they're going to win the division. I think the Falcons are 2, Carolina 3, and Tampa 4. Just this last year.
You know, it's so funny that I knew that was going to happen. But I'm like, I'm picking the same number one. Yeah, it's not going to happen. You got to appreciate it. Like I said, America, those that listen to the show, this is going to happen. I think, like you said, we pick with our hearts a lot. And, you know, Robert thinks that they're going to overcome and they're going to have a rallying cry. I think it's going to become a little tougher than to overcome a lot of the challenges. So we both have different views of what's going on, too. But